Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Health insurance made easy through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is the last day of June, Monday the 30th. How was the first half of 2025 for you? The year is still half full. That's the way to look at it. And tap out all your thoughts in the usual way on the WhatsApp, North and South. That's 087 032 32 32. And for your longer thoughts, you can always email oliver@rte.ie. August Harris Jock. Oh my word, there's so much to talk about this morning. GAA weekend galore, you have Glastonbury, there's a deadly heatwave in Europe sadly. Wimbledon begins with Irish interest. Jeff Bezos finished off his wedding with a tacky pyjama party. Pádraig Harrington won 800 grand at the US Open for Alphalas. And speaking of seniors, the presidential race is finally heating up, so there is much to chat about. And this morning, one of our guests is a Longford woman who worked for the Cloonies, and she's made a short film about something that's really burning through her and I think a lot of people. We don't hear a lot about it though. It's the guilt that emigrants feel about what they've missed or are missing back home in Ireland when they're off pursuing their careers overseas, sometimes following a dream, sometimes following a necessity. So we'll find out all about that later on this morning. But where do we begin? Well, the GAA weekend was absolutely enormous. They're very sensitive in Kerry. The Bannisdore, Jack O'Connor, his main focus was on how the team proved the pundits wrong. It says it's a primary motivation to prove people wrong. The six-time All-Ireland winning Kerry player turned critic Dara O'Shea is in his sights. And in his column 2 weeks ago, he said there's an air of finality around Kerry, trying to sum up the mood down there, which seemed fair enough because they had just lost to Meath by 9 points at that stage. And then elsewhere, Joe Brawley wrote that David Clifford is the only Kerry player worthy of the name and brought them. In the end, it was actually the brother, Paddy Clifford, coming on, who flipped the script yesterday afternoon in Croke Park. Armagh lost a string of their own kickouts due to the pressure from Kerry, dropped the head, and then Kerry just absolutely savaged them, and that was it. One of the great motivators in life is trying to prove people wrong, says Jack O'Connor. We were portrayed as a one-man team. He says, Dublin got beaten by Meath in the Leinster and I didn't see any former Dublin players coming out slating the team or slating the management like we had down south in our county. Unfortunately, he says, a few pundits down our way let themselves down in that regard. And we'll be all watching Dara's Irish Times column with interest this week. Bitter in victory, that's a new thing from the kingdom. Now, Kerry people think the world revolves around them. But in fact, the weekend possibly belonged to Meath. It was the only exciting close match of the four. This was supposed to be GAA football's Hollywood moment after the endless group stages. But it was really the Meath-Galway match, which was all the excitement. And on Friday, we said that was the match that looked the least glamorous fixture with the least amount of attention in advance. We said that was the game that we'd probably end up talking about this morning. Nearly correct. It was the best of the four matches. Meath caused the upset, dumping Galway out. And then elsewhere, Donegal demolished us in Monaghan, which was somewhat expected. Great performance in the second half by Jim McGuinness's lads. And they are now the favourites and we'll be shouting for them right to the finish. Donegal people are very sound. Tyrone dispensed with Dublin very easily in the last quarter of that game. And what's amazing about the new rules is there's no kind of focus on any controversial moments. And the pressure on goalies is just enormous. The Dubs are out. Desi Farrell resigned. He won two All-Irelands with the Dubs in his 6 years, something that's viewed as approaching failure, given everything they've had since 2011. Nine All-Irelands in 12 years, only 2 years ago since they won, but they crashed out of the Leinster and then they failed to make the All-Ireland semis for 2 years in a row. And that's seen as a bit of a crisis in Dublin. So there you go. You've got two Ulster teams in the semi, which means the pressure on the M1 motorway will continue. I'm reading in the Irish Times, Andy Waters says, you haven't seen hungrier Tyrone people in years. High on the buzz of beating the Dubs in the championship for the first time in 17 years. The red hand throng descended on the Apple Green in the M1 to devour what the Donegal and Monaghan fans hadn't earlier on Saturday. Only to discover to their horror that Burger King was sold out of burgers and fries. That must have been the Donegal people. It'd be a long trip now. We'd be very salad conscious in Monaghan. The Tyrone faithful will get another day out and hope for better options at the motorway services. Well, they will. They'll still throng the M1, of course. So four teams left. Donegal looking to win a third. All-Ireland will Kerry win a 39th. Tyrone are going for five, but nobody will back them against the Kingdom. And the dark horses, Meath, haven't won Sam since 1999. The hurling is next weekend, and the people with the schlitter on the come on will be going, we knew football would let us down in the end, and it's down to hurling to save all the glory. The presidential race is up and running. A few news sites are offering updates today. The Sun says the race for the Oras heats up as former TD throws the hat in to become president of Ireland despite possible ballot battle with Bertie. That's in Fianna Fáil. Adam Higgins is writing. Whereas Rowan McGreevy is talking about the left parties are struggling to find candidates of sufficient stature to replace President Higgins, while the opposition parties are cooling on the possibility of a joint left candidate. So that's what's going on today. So over the weekend, Mary Hannafin and Peter Power emerged as eager to win the Fianna Fáil nomination. A veritable who's that of the political classes. You'd have to explain to 99% of the population who they are. I think the most famous thing they've done in recent years is lose elections. In Fine Gael, you've got Sean Kelly, who's 73, up against Mairead McGuinness, who technically has announced her intention but is regarded as really the red-hot favourite. She's lost Dáil elections as well. Peter Casey is in the hunt. He's also lost loads of elections. Bertie's still being mentioned. Sean Gallagher is hilariously still being talked about. So this kind of 2025 race of the duds, it's like a list of the wrecked, the fecked and the rejected. The left also don't know what they're doing, if anything. Maybe Michelle O'Neill for Sinn Féin. Maybe Frances Black as a joint left candidate. Or maybe Catherine Connolly. Is there anybody around the 40 mark out there, with or without a young family, who could kind of inject just a bit of freshness into the presidency? It's a tired old office. It needs a bit of a reinvention if someone was around to give it a punt. Someone randomly mentioned Paul O'Connell to me, who hasn't even registered early attention. But it's kind of go, he's 45 years of age. He's beloved. Seems really sound and grounded. Has a young family as well. And you think someone from the world of sport, nobody from sport is being mentioned. It would just be, it'd be kind of good, wouldn't it, do you think?